As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, our faith, which is ever ancient, yet ever new. 218th celebration of Christ's birthday. Our faith, has lasted and existed for many years, many centuries. Yet, even today, in Georgetown, Texas, we celebrate this beautiful feast in a new and a real way. How the Savior, Jesus Christ, comes and desires to enter into our own life, into our own reality, of whatever we might find ourselves in. The newness, particular events that might have happened over this last year. Maybe this is, I don't know if we have any little children. At the early Mass, we had a lot of little children. Maybe it's the first Christmas for some of you. Maybe some of you, newly married, first Christmas together. Maybe some, even on a more sadder note, the first Christmas without a loved one, the loss of a loved one, of a family member, of a friend. Maybe even the sadness of a divorce, loss of a job. Maybe other particular things that have taken place in your own life. What is a new reality? Something that was not here before. God wants to enter into those particular places. We don't have to try to be something we think that he wants us to be, but to invite him into our own reality. God enters into time and takes upon our flesh to save us. Our faith, ancient. We hear Moses leading the people out of slavery in Egypt. King David, who saved the people. A Messiah that was promised to be in the line of King David. Jesus Christ, whom we celebrate his birth today as he takes upon our flesh. During the Christmas season, of course, there's many beautiful images that we are able to see. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated a beautiful feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and in the homily, I spoke about the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and how a particular picture or image is worth, some say, 1,000 words. The beautiful image, if you ever look at it, or the next time you see it, look at it in a different way. The Blessed Mother Mary has rays coming out from behind her. She is standing in front of the sun, and she is standing upon the moon in that particular image. She appeared to St. Juan Diego and the Aztec people in Mexico in 1534. And many of the people at that time worshipped the sun and the moon. Mary comes in between the particular idols and false gods to bring to us her son, the one who truly will save us, the one who desires to enter into the reality of our life and everything that is going on and taking place. At Christmas, of course, another beautiful image that we see is the manger scene, as we blessed our manger scene today. And I find it very interesting. There's all different kinds of manger scenes. A friend of mine used to collect them and had one from all different kind of countries. All different styles of manger scenes. I was talking to a family last night who grew up in Peru, and their kind of tradition for Christmas was everyone built kind of a life-size manger scene in their house, and how they would go to different people's homes and check out the different manger scenes. I was at a family's house last night and saw the newest rendition of the manger scene that I've ever seen. It was a s'mores. It was a graham cracker. It was a piece of chocolate. And then Mary and Joseph were 3 marshmallows, and then baby Jesus were 3 smaller marshmallows. All different styles and types of the manger scene, right? But it's very beautiful that a sense of this reality, whatever try to shape or size you put it in, it's still there, right? Mary, her husband Joseph, and their son Jesus Christ, our Savior. God is with us, Emmanuel. Beautiful image. When I was growing up, my parents, we would put up a manger scene. It was a manger scene that they had gotten when they were married for their wedding gift. They were married on January the 12th, so right after Christmas, and so there was a manger scene that was given to them, and they still had the old box that it came in. It was a manger scene from Sears and Roebuck. So some people don't know what that is anymore, right? Sears. But it was a neat little manger scene. It was kind of cool because my mom, we would set it up, and my mother would show us the pieces. This is Mary. This is Joseph. This is baby Jesus. This is a shepherd. These are kings. These are their gifts that they have. These are animals. She'd explain to us why it was in a barn, or looked like a barn, the Bittaker manger scene. So it was always kind of neat to see this. And so my sister and I would help to set it out. And it was kind of in a pretty central space in the room. It was in a little nook right under the TV, right? So see the TV, see the manger scene. Anyway. But that beautiful reality of what Christmas truly is about, this image of the manger scene. And so what I mean would just encourage you. Maybe you know what the manger scene is all about. Have you ever told anybody what the manger scene is about? Or we'd encourage you, maybe your children or grandchildren, ask them to tell you what the manger scene is about and point to the different characters that are there and let them see what they say or what they know and help them to fill this story. Again, how the reality of our salvation becomes real as our God takes upon our flesh, something very ancient but also ever new. And even pretty cool to think, our faith, God created us so many years back behind us. And even honesty and reality, God is so far ahead of us. Yet we are present here, and how God takes upon our reality. It's kind of been interesting. It's interesting to me, at least, to see even how our church enters into technology. All the different blogs, all the different videos and particular things of our faith. Father Joseph and I's homilies are even taped and put up on the internet that people could listen to. I've even kind of got to watching God Friended Me. Kind of interesting little sitcom there. So all kinds of things, how even God is in the regularness of our own life, desiring to break in to our own reality. So maybe I'd just like to end with, a lot of times I always like to ask questions. You know, it's as I prepare for homilies, a lot of times I ask, God, what do your people need to hear? What do the people need to know? What do you want me to say to them as I preach? And one thing that I usually comes up in my own heart is, God says to me, tell them that I love them. Do we recognize that we are loved? And maybe even more important, and I think a beautiful question to reflect on, is how do we know that we are loved? How do we know that we are loved by others? You know, we're doing a strategic plan here at St. Helens, so we've been working out KPIs, key performance indicators. I don't know if you know what those are, but kind of measuring your success, right? So how do we know in our own lives that we are loved? What takes place? So I think a key point is we know that we are loved when somebody isn't afraid to enter into the reality of our own life, and especially isn't afraid to enter into the suffering of our own life. When we're going through hard times, people who listen to us, people who give us a call or a text message, people who check in on us, when we lost loved ones, when we've lost a job, when we've gone through struggles in our own families, we know when we are loved when people aren't afraid to enter into our own reality, whatever it might be, and how even God enters into our reality and enters into our suffering to destroy sin and suffering itself. The realization that if we too enter into our suffering, we will rise just as our Lord did. But knowing that we are loved, and how do we, in some sense, respond knowing that we are loved, that God is present in whatever is going on in our own life? He isn't waiting for us to catch up to Him. He isn't waiting for us to figure it out. All He needs us to do is to accept His love. So I hope in a new way you can accept this child Jesus and accept your faith, something very ancient, very old, but yet something very new and practical and real and life-giving. That hopefully it stirs in your own heart that if we are loved, hopefully we'll begin to feel more comfortable in our own skin, that we'll be more at peace with ourselves and who God has made and created us to be. That's really what God desires for us to find: ourselves, our gifts, our talents, whom we are and who He has created us to be, and not afraid to enter into that. To be able to be comfortable with ourselves means that we know that we are loved, and we don't have to put on airs. We don't have to, in some sense, earn or try to get other people to notice us, because we truly know that we are loved. Hopefully, too, if we know that we are loved and receive God's love, we will desire to love as He loves. We'll learn to not just love as the world loves, but to love as God loves, in a selfless and a sacrificial way. If we know that we are loved, we will hopefully desire to give and that share love with others, and even to enter into their suffering and their daily walk with the Lord. So for us, as we continue in a new way to recognize the ancientness and the old and awesomeness of our faith, yet how it is made new this particular Christmas, may you find new strength and joy in the manger scene that God has come in the reality of our world. And may you also ask you that question, how do I know that I am loved? How did I know and recognize that I'm loved by others? And especially first and foremost, by God. And once you know that you're loved by Him, those are usually the people whom you should hang out with, the people whom you want to grow closer to, the people who aren't afraid to enter into the reality of your own life. So may you see God every step of the way, and may you find new faith, new light, and new peace this Christmas season.